All right, it looks like it's about that time. What's happening? It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. It is time for the most exciting, entertaining, longest running show hosted by the same handsome host in Pulse of New Hampshire history, Northeast Delta Dental Radio, with the world's fastest host, Mr. Tom Raffio, CEO.
Thank you, Nazzy. You are the best. And of course, I've been at the Pulse for these 15 years. Jack Heath gave me my start. And the rest is history.
That's right.
And I have won the Dancing with the Stars dancing contest. So could you put
that's
in your notes in
that.
The future that I'm a swell dancer?
That's why I said that. One of the best dancers. And there are rumors that we might be doing a Dancing with the local Concord Stars all-star thing. And I'd like to throw my hat back in because I believe I was class of 2011.
All right, so let's do it. Let's definitely do it.
I'm in. And
of course, local radio is so wonderful because we can feature local celebrities, such as my guest this weekend and today, Dr. Max Latona, who is with the Center for Ethics in Society at St. A's. And of course, Max and Delta Dental, particularly through our VP of Human Resources, Connie Roy-Jakowski, has been connected with the Center for Ethics in Society for many, many years. And one of your former guest lecturers, Professor Annabelle Burrell, she and I co-wrote a book on mindfulness and speaks very highly of the Center for Ethics. And you see the mindfulness book, if those of you that have seen this before, but you can get it on Amazon, Mindfulness, A Better You, A Better Me. And if you're stressed out, that's the book to read. My two other books, if you're into sports and how it's connected to real life, There Are No Do-Overs with the basketball star Dave Cowens. And if you want to come closer to home, you're in the middle of the pandemic and you want to know how to thrive during the pandemic, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive. And you can get that both at the Bookery and right here at Gibson's in Concord. Or if you want the Amazon truck driving up your driveway, you can do that as well. So those are my book commercials, Max. And I will tell you, a common thread throughout this, all three books actually, is ethics. I mean, because one of the reasons why we thrive during the pandemic, which is still with us, of course, I know it's hopefully winding down, is we were true to our values, getting people back to the dentist, true to ethics, which is one of our four corporate values, ethics, communication, teamwork, and quality service. So it is actually very relevant that what we're talking about today, because if you have a moral compass, the numbers will take care of themselves if you stick to that. But let's bring it back to home first, Max, and tell us about the Center for Ethics and Society. I think people have heard of St. A's, of course. Maybe their son or daughter, went to school there. Maybe you taught there. Maybe you took a class there. We also know the Institute of Politics with Neil Levesque. But maybe some people haven't heard of the Center for Ethics and Society. So tell us in great detail as much as you want about the center.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me on the show. Your reputation precedes you, as you mentioned. I know some people that you know, and they speak very highly of you. You're well known in the state, and it's a pleasure to meet you, if only virtually here, and have an opportunity to speak to you.
Max, and I couldn't wait to get you on the program. So tell us about the Center for Ethics.
Yeah, so people know St. Anselm College, as you mentioned. We're a four-year liberal arts college in the Catholic tradition in Manchester. And what they might not know is that we have some vibrant institutes and centers. Yes, maybe they know about the Institute of Politics, but the Center for Ethics and Society is a fast-growing center that is quickly, I think, making its impact or influence on the state of New Hampshire. I'll tell you the quick story about the center. It's really a three chapter story, but very short chapters. Chapter one actually goes back to 2002, believe it or not, with L. Dennis Kozlowski and the Tyco Corporation's scandal. So for listeners, they may recall the CEO and CFO of Tyco were charged with a number of crimes back in 2002, including embezzlement, grand larceny, securities fraud, et cetera. They ended up going to prison, but there was also a class action lawsuit on the part of stakeholders and shareholders and investors. And there was a settlement between the New Hampshire Securities Bureau and Tyco. And that settlement produced a sum of money that went into an endowment to help fund public education in New Hampshire on topics related to ethics in business, ethics in governance, ethics in investment. That led to a grant given to the college through the UNH Foundation to do this kind of public programming. That is called the Ethics and Governance Program at the college. It's a very targeted program. Its scope is limited to those topics I mentioned, and it's really meant for public education, not for student development, not for faculty development or research, but really public education. So that's chapter one. We had that program. Chapter two happened about 2017, when the college said, you know, we have this wonderful program teaching ethics and investment and governance and in business. Let's build a larger center around this, because there are opportunities for us to bring more faculty in, to educate students, to build more programs around this that can benefit not only the community on campus, but off campus as well. So we started what was called then the Center for Ethics in Business and Governance. And we were targeted really to, again, those kinds of issues and topics that I've already mentioned. But what we discovered, fast forward now to chapter three, is that many of the issues that businesses face in New Hampshire really impact society at large in much broader ways, as you may know. So issues of, for example, housing or healthcare costs, those kinds of things impact not just businesses and the way they're run, but the families, the employees, the community members, their clients. The whole state of New Hampshire is really interwoven with business. So we realize that many of the issues we're addressing are not limited strictly to business and governance, but really they're issues that are impacting society at large, our communities in New Hampshire. So last year we changed our name. We're called now the Center for Ethics in Society, and we're addressing issues that organizations and communities in New Hampshire face, and we're doing so through research, through education, through dialogue and collaboration. So that's the quick version. We emerged from that Tyco settlement, we started a Center for Ethics in Business and Governance, and now we've grown to address broader issues that impact our communities.
Before we talk in more specifically how to you can engage the business community and businesses can get involved. I'm pretty familiar because, again, Connie's involvement and Professor Burrell's. But let's go back to chapter one for a minute, the Tyco Dennis Kozlowski thing. I mean, that, of course, made huge, huge headlines, you know, the expensive, the $1 million shower curtain that he bought.
That's right. And a $2 million birthday party, I think.
And then the delivering, I think, what ultimately got him was delivering the art to the New Hampshire location to avoid like New York sales tax and stuff. And I mean, that really was a headliner in New Hampshire at the time. And of course, our listening audience spans, you know, people my age that will remember it, but the new crowd may not remember. But it's, you know, it was important because, I mean, Tyco's recovered from that and, you know, they're okay. But Dennis Kozlowski was revered up until that point as someone that, gave back to the community. But what we didn't know at the time was obviously the self-dealing and, yep, and everything else. And so
Let me just add to that, your point there, that actually he had just been invited as commencement speaker at St. Anselm College just a few months before he was in handcuffs.
So it just shows you again, you know, the moral compass, and so that connection is. It's always good to remember, you know, that history. And around that time, there were other companies all across the country that were faced with these type of scandals. And I remember, and I'm sort of digressing a little bit, but that period of time really hurt the reputation of businesses in general, because I remember having to talk to a lot of students and saying, no, business is really a great way to get ahead in society. And when we used to have a lot of summer interns that would come in, high school and college students. And I remember they would be assigned to different managers. And at the end of the summer, I would have a debrief with them over lunch. And they would tell me, this was, again, post Tyco, but everything was in the news. Oh, my God, I didn't realize how ethical businesses actually are, you know, and all the good that you're doing. And in our case, you know, delivering oral health not only to our customers, but to underserved populations. So it really did that whole. Tyco scandal, as well as some of the other scandals that were going on at other companies, that really did damage businesses in general in terms of, you know, yeah, the reputation of a business. So it's great that we've recovered from that. But I like chapter three now, where you've kind of segued. It's way more than business. Businesses can lead. You know, I think we can take the lead on diversity, equity, and inclusion, for example, and we can take the lead. For example, one of the things I'm personally passionate for is, and we had Jackie on as a guest a couple of weeks ago, but is this whole getting behind childcare, early learning, and making sure that the workers for other industries have people taking care of their children. So there is an expectation that businesses take the lead on these public policy issues. But it has to be done, of course, ethically. I see Nazi. So I think after the break, though, I really want to, Max, you tell me how other businesses can get involved. So, Nazi, what do you think? Time for a break?
I think time for a quick breather. And I'm very interested. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk more. OK, coming up in just a few minutes right here in the Pulse of New Hampshire, Northeast Delta Dental Radio. All right. Welcome back. It is the Pulse of New Hampshire, Nazi right now with Mr. Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and of course, the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. How many years now, Tom?
13, lucky 13.
God bless you. That's amazing. And you always have the best guests. This one is really, really.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, Nazi, about New Hampshire. You know, whether it's people, you know, not understanding that Canterbury Shaker Village is this hidden jewel, or whether you've never visited the Flume or the Discovery Center, there are all these great organizations out there,
right?
Doing
right,
great works, and people don't know enough about them. So that was really, honestly, Nazi, that was really the genesis of the weekend show, was to feature well-deserving organizations that are doing good works, but maybe people haven't heard about them. So
right.
Thus, Dr. Max Latona, and last week, we had an interesting guest as well, Dr. Julianne Gadori from Kimball Jenkins House, and they do some great work in terms of arts and others, and Kimball Jenkins is a great place to have events. So all of these interesting people and organizations, it's really, you know, my pleasure to feature Max and St. Anne's A's, the Center for Ethics in society. So just remind Max, the listening audience, how you segued into the new name. So sort of give us again the minute or two going from what you termed chapter two, roughly 2017, long after the Tyco fiasco, and now the new name.
Yeah, just quickly, I mean, we realized that we'd kind of outgrown our shoes. The former name, the Center for Ethics in Business and Governance, was focused on issues that businesses, corporations are facing, whether in leadership or in their governance and investment and finance. We realized that there were many more issues that intersected with business but impacted society and communities at large in New Hampshire. For example, housing. We have a housing shortage that impacts our businesses and their ability to grow, but it's also an ethical issue, obviously, that our families and our communities face. So that's something we've been addressing, and we realized issues like that, housing or healthcare, didn't quite fit the name Center for Ethics in Business and Governance. So we became the Center for Ethics in Society. But I can say, Tom, that ethics is still the core of what we do. And I like what you said in the last segment. Ethics is fundamentally important, we think, for individuals, for organizations, for communities to flourish, to be happy, to do well. You know, so many times people think that there's this tension between our well-being, our happiness, and morality and ethics. So that ethics is kind of like this millstone we drag around that prevents us from really, you know, doing well and seeking profits, et cetera. But I think, as you and I agree, that's not the case. There isn't that tension. If you want to be a strong organization, an organization that treats its employees with respect, where they're loyal, they work hard, where your community and your customers and clients respect you and are loyal, and you have to treat them with respect and dignity. So ethics is fundamental to the flourishing of
it's in the fabric. And again, I people have heard me say this a lot. If you take care of your core values, if you stick to them, as we did during the pandemic, ethics being one of them, if you take care of your people, your employees internally and your customers externally, the numbers will take care of themselves. And just like Dr. Max said, you can't drag around the ethics. It has to be part of the fabric. And if you do, it is a great long-term strategy. And when people get in troubles, when they don't, you know, pay attention to that compass and try to do short-term shortcuts, which may in the short run give you additional profits, but in the long run will hurt. Right. So if I'm a business owner, large or small, because I get this question a lot, Max. Well, Delta Dental, you're $500 million revenue company, so you know you can send people to St. A's, you can give back as we did in 2020, you can give back $27 million to the community in terms of premium relief to get everybody square. But I'm a small employer. I've got five people. How would I get involved with the center? And then conversely, if I'm a huge company, how, again, same question.
Great question, Tom. Thanks for this. So the center offers a wide variety of programs of service and value to the community and our businesses, whether large or small. So to start with the most simple, we have many speaker events, panel discussions, even seminars that provide education, but also an opportunity for dialogue for people in our communities, including our business owners. It could be on topics from, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion and their importance, or to issues of fast fashion and the ethical issues that our fast fashion industry faces, to one of our most recent initiatives, Corporations and the Common Good, where we look at this question of when businesses should speak out on social issues and when they shouldn't, and when they do, how should they navigate the messaging there? Who decides what the business represents in terms of its the social issue, which are often controversial? So we have many public programs. So anybody who is interested could certainly just send us an email. We'll get you on the mailing list so you're aware of some of these events and programs. They can be, you know, webinars, but they can also be, you know, a community discussion at XO Bistro on Elm Street tomorrow evening. We'll provide some food. We'll have an expert come in, just lead a discussion on whether literature can corrupt or improve us. We do a wide variety of topics to get the community thinking and talking about ethics. But let me say, Tom, that it's a two-way street. We're not just providing education and value for the community. We also need business owners to come on campus and share their experiences with our students. So we have a lot of programs for our students. We call them ethics labs. That occur in the classroom, where business owners, community leaders can come in and speak with our young emerging leaders and share with them some of the problems, issues they've faced, and how they dealt with them. So lots of opportunities for that. So if a person would like to just get involved, we'd love to have you involved. We'll invite you on campus for a program, or to be in the classroom, or to some of our discussion events in the community.
And a question I have as a CEO is, how do I address an issue that is dividing society, and there may not be one right answer, without sort of segmenting my customer base? And it's interesting, you know, this whole business of taking a stand. I've been studying that. You know, there's great articles by Red Corp, Blue Corp, taking a stand. How and when should companies speak out on political issues? And I have to pick my spots. I tend to stay in my lane as it relates to oral health. But most recently, I have stepped out of that and have gotten involved with supporting childcare and the need for the state to invest more in childcare. Of course, I relate that to the workforce, because if people can't get back to work because their kids are at home with them, you know, it's more of a business issue, but I stepped out on that. And also I've taken the lead in a lot of diversity, equity, in inclusion situations. But of course, we all know some customers are in favor of certain things and other customers are not. So I'm sure that this has led to interesting discussions when you've had a CEO or a business leader discussing this. So I don't know, how did you address getting involved with an issue without sort of messing up your customer base?
It's a great question, Tom. And it's complicated and very fraught with, I think, possible mistakes. I'll just say there's a few things I think that we could think about here. Number one, and I don't think, by the way, I'm educating you on this. I think you know this from the example you've provided for us. Number one, you got to consult your own conscience. You have to speak from the heart as a leader in your organization. I think if you're giving just messages that other people want to hear but aren't really what you think, people can sniff that out as inauthentic, as whatever, virtue signaling. So speaking from the heart and from the depth of your experience and insights, number one, I think. Number two, but there are times we might think and feel something and not feel it's appropriate to speak about it. So when is it appropriate? Because as we know, you could alienate a segment of your customer base by speaking out on these issues. I think number two, it's got to be an issue that is related to your company's, your organization's purview. And as you mentioned, oral health is something that Northeast Delta Dental is concerned with. So you've apparently managed to speak to issues that relate to that in some way or other. Yeah, when you have a large company speaking out on an issue that has nothing to do with the company, people scratch their heads with that and say, "What? Why are they speaking out on this issue?"
Right. And the other thing, Max, is, yeah. And I guarded against this and told my team, you know, when 2020 was a rough year in a lot of respects between COVID and, you know, the George Floyd thing, but I said, I don't want to pontificate, you know, on my website like a lot of companies did and then no action. So that's
right.
Let's relate it back to our lane. What can we do to address oral health disparities? Because like healthcare, there are oral health disparities amongst, people of color. So let's sort of get it back
exactly
into our lane. And the other thing is, I love that authenticity point because people know if you're just saying corporate speak versus
exactly
being authentic. So, for example, Connie, we've mentioned Connie before, but Connie and I have been at DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, for 20 years. We've been working at, for example, we have 42 board members across three boards in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont. Effective in April, we'll be at 21-21 when it comes to gender balance. Didn't happen because we worked on it the last 2 years. That's happened because we were on it for 15 years. And similarly, we're getting more and more. Our BIPOC population on the board is getting greater. So authenticity, I love what you said. And this is the type of discussion you would have as a business leader, whether you're a small company or a large company. So I'm going to give the website anselm.edu/ethics, anselm.edu. You can tell how energized I am, and you'll be just as energized if you get involved with the many programs that are available. And as Max said, what's great about it, you can also offer a lot too. So, and I know
That's
students
right.
love to hear from people that are actually doing it, you know, not just the professors who have the science and the academic credentials, but if you're actually running a company, students love hearing from that. So Dr. Latona, thank you for leading ethics. And the one overarching comment I leave with everybody is if you stick to your values, be authentic, and stick to your ethical ideals, everything will take care of itself over time in a good way. Nazzy, is that a good wrap, you think?
I can't think of anything better to say after that, Tom. I mean, that's a mic drop comment. You walk away. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
That's how great it is.
But I got to get Max back on because you can see how engaged we are. So thanks, Max.
Thank you very much for having me, Tom.
Center for Ethics and Society, St. A's. Again, another jewel we have right here in Goffstown/Manchester, New Hampshire, yeah. That maybe people haven't heard of. And I hope everybody involved with business, you know, definitely connect with Max. So thanks, Max. Thanks, Nazzy.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, Nazzy.
See you next time. Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire.